listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits, go to gamesense.ab.ca. Changer panel breakfast event. Now, was that yesterday or is it next Thursday?
That was yesterday morning.
It was yesterday morning, right? And that was, you had the Plouffe sisters there, Vanessa Hettinger, yourself. What was your main takeaway from that?
I think it was the words belief and mindset. There was a common theme between all of us. Jeanine Helen was also joining us, soccer player, also with the Pandas. And it was just, all of us have a different journey. It's totally different sports, 3-on-3, hockey, soccer, and track cycling. And it really comes down to, you know, the power of a community, the power of collaborating and creating and also giving back into the community. But success really starts with belief. And it was really interesting. Vanessa had a really great point because she works with a lot of male athletes, a lot of female athletes. And just the approach is very different. And it was really interesting, this perspective, because she said with boys or guys, success is about achieving first and then comes belonging. And with females and girls, it's about belonging first and then the belief comes. And it really struck me as interesting because I was competing against the men when I was training and racing. And it was just really interesting, the different perspectives that you have from both sexes here. But just really that belief part can either make or break, whether you're working towards the win, you're working towards a championship, even qualifying, or just moving through X number of games throughout the season.
Now, it's interesting how, like, so you said how for guys need success, but so what's the big thing then that you took away from what the women athletes are looking for and young girls and how it's different?
I don't know if it's totally all of that, but the belief part runs through core, like it runs through everything. Because if you don't believe you can do it, Jason, it's never going to happen. If you start to believe you can, there's confidence that comes from it. The attitude, which is your thinking, your feeling, and then your action, so that's your execution, is essential and it's key. But then there's also the core thing, because when I was talking with Jeanine, she's part of a soccer team. I was an individual athlete, so totally different infrastructures. And again, it's that belief, the support system that you have or that you don't have. If you don't have it, how do you find it? If you do have it, how do you keep it going for like the whole entire season? Or what do you do when you've, you know, hit a bad whoop, or you have a really bad game, you make some bad choices that cost the team. What are you going to do and how quickly can you actually reset? And that part is essential.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Now, speaking of mindsets, you get into the playoffs and we should tie it in, you know, the Jays mindset. It's obviously very much a team. They have different guys who step up. And when you're in that team environment, is it easier or harder? Like if everybody's contributing, you feel like, oh God, I got to contribute. Or is it easier because you're like, well, geez, if I don't contribute this day, there's likely someone else that's going to, and then the next day will be my turn.
I think you run into trouble, Jason, if you start thinking like that. Well, if I don't contribute today, then tomorrow's my day. Tomorrow may never come, first off, but it's what are you going to do in the here and now, like right now. Your environment really can make or break you, but it's really first looking at what can you control, and that starts to create what the environment is around you. Because if it's not great, you can either subscribe to that point of view or you can decide to flip the switch and do something different and change it on the spot. And you can literally change it like in a moment, literally.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, well, you definitely can in that regard. The collaboration, giving back is something that we obviously want to teach to young athletes for sure. I think it's just important for them. You know, a lot of young athletes can be gifted with really good athleticism, and you know, how our society works is that sometimes people, you know, view elite athleticism as somehow that makes you a better person. It just means you're a better athlete. It doesn't mean you're a better person. And I think at times there needs to be a reminder that, yeah, you might be a great athlete, but you need to be a good person.
Oh, absolutely. That comes hand in hand. And I think it's also part of the role of what you're gifted when you are on that stage, whether it's Olympics, NHL, CFL, it is about giving back. It's about empowering. It's about uplifting those around you. And sometimes we look at it like, if it's your competitor, then what do? And you're not supposed to, you know, lift them up, or you're not supposed to say, hey, good job. But yet you see it a lot in competition. It's just like, oh man, I got schooled. But you learn from it, Jason. And that's the part is I've always found, and I've seen it in action, is that athletes learn more when they're contributing, when they're giving back, whether it's after their sport, like at an event, or it's in the game. And sometimes just those moments of, hey, what can I do to level up and uplift somebody else can be the total game changer.
Laurie Ann Munzer joins the Sports 1440. You've had to be in, you know, must-win situations as an athlete, now individual and a team. It's different. It's similar and the same. It's like win, move on. Lose, go home. And there is more pressure. How do you find the balance to embrace the pressure but not have it overwhelm you?
Ooh, embrace the pressure or not overwhelm you. I can speak from, you know, do or die at the Olympics with having to perform, because if I didn't, then I was going to be going for bronze medal versus gold medal. You know, with the Elks, a lot of the players, sometimes it's either one of two sides. They're either playing to win or they're playing not to lose. And different athletes are going to get fired up. Number one, you have no choice but to go through it. You're in the pressure cooker. So what are you going to do? Are you going to embrace it? There isn't a balance. I've never seen that, but it just comes down to, so Jason, what are you going to do today? Are you going to level up? Are you going to dig? Do you have to reset? What do you have to do to get into the zone? And really it's coming back to those basics. Are you playing to win or are you playing not to lose? And there's always a difference when you play to win is you will figure out a way. You will probably be put into a situation maybe you haven't been in lately or ever been a part of, and you will figure out a way to come out the other end in a great way.
When you competed, did you know the difference when you were racing not to lose compared to racing to win? Was it noticeable?
Absolutely. It is this sensation that takes over your whole body. It takes your mind and it shakes you up like a good blender. And it's just, what the heck are you going to do? The first time it hit, Jason, I had no idea what was going on. And then I started to realize that, you know what? It was all about my preparation. Okay. Did I prepare for this event, or did I prepare, or did I not? And that sensation would come over when I did not prepare. And I think we've talked about it before. You can prepare too much, but then sometimes you kind of coast and you go, oh, I got this. This is going to be easy. And it's never going to be easy. It's that false expectation. And you know it when you're in it. And the hardest thing to do is to flip the switch and get out of it, because it truly is a feeling, and you can just stay in it and be done. And then it's like, ah, why did I stay here? Why didn't I call somebody to give you the boost, or go and do something physical so you start moving the body, get the adrenaline going, put on the music or whatever it is that you need to move you to that next level. And I hated it when it comes on, and I believe it or not, I still get that feeling and that same nervousness when I'm going to teach a workshop, when I'm going to do an event, even just to participate and be part of the event. And if I'm going to deliver a keynote, you know when you're on and you know when you're not on.
Yeah, no, that's totally valid. Laurie Ann, we appreciate this. Have yourself an awesome weekend. Are you a turkey maker for Thanksgiving? What happens?
No, I don't cook the turkey, but I do the desserts. I make a mean apple crisp. I've been putting some, what is it, those little apple cherries into it. So there's a couple versions that I will make. It's my grandma's recipe, and it is amazing. So I'm a drumstick person, always going for one of the legs. And
do you eat stuffing?
Oh, of course. Yes. And there has to be the chaser of cranberries. I love cranberries. Oh my gosh. That just is the make or break it deal.
Okay. What about, are you a pumpkin pie fan?
I am, but when you bring apple Betty in or apple crisp, it's the apple crisp trumps it every time.
All right. I like a good apple crisp. All right. What do you, now you, do you make the, you make like homemade topping of your own apple crisp?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's three simple ingredients. The key is the butter at room temperature, and you have to make it at, when it's all put together, it's got to be like sand. Like it's got to just be all crumbles. Granular. If you got chunks, still keep going, still keep going, keep working it.
All right. No chunks. Yeah. All right. Well, we look forward to trying this sometime in the future. So that'll be fantastic. I'm a big dessert.
Okay. Guy. That sounds good. I'll definitely bring some in.
All right. We love it.